down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
Just because it's late doesn't mean we're done yet.
And the sir, that's a penalty.
And the quarterback, you kidding me, coach?
There's still plenty more hits to dish out.
Well, he really hit the shit out of that one, didn't he? Look at that, he hit the f***ing ball. That gets a free steak.
This is Late Hits.
Late Hits.
On ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
23 hours. Counting. This is the only live local and consistent evening sports radio show in the city of Houston. Late Hits, ESPN 97.5. Patrick Creighton with you, 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN, on the HR and Pulitzer line, on the text line, on Twitter, at PCreighton1, Big Johnny B, on the other side of the glass, the master controls, at Third Coast Johnny, on the Twitch stream, twitch.tv/ESPN975, and a little shout out to one of the kings of Astros Twitter, and good person, Michael Schwab. Good person, meaning he didn't tell me he wanted my children to die because they didn't like my proper explanation of the rules on that Grandal Yuli play. Michael Schwab, good dude, tweeting out 2017 Astros World Champion and fan favorite Josh Reddick will be throwing out the first pitch tomorrow for Game 1. Johnny, when it comes to Josh Reddick and the Astros, there really is only one thing that can ever be said when it comes to Josh Reddick.
Yeah, I don't have the woo.
What?
I can't do it.
What?
I mean, my voice just can't do
Blasphemy!
It. Can you give me a woo?
Man, I don't know. I could try. I don't know if I can woo as good as I perhaps once could have. I'm better at wooing on Mondays than I am on Thursdays, but let's say, woo!
That wasn't bad. That's pretty good.
Gotta have a woo. In fact, I would encourage everyone to call up at 713-780-3776 and just give us your best woo. Just call up and give us a woo. You don't have to say anything. Just get on the phone. We'll announce your name and then just go, woo! And we're good. We'll have fun. Just give us your woos. I mean, if you want to say something, you can. But you gotta get a woo in. Can we get some woos in? I need to have some woos. My dog can woo. My dog woos like a Wookiee. My dog is like,
that was actually strangely pretty good for a dog.
And I'm looking at him like, the hell is wrong with you? You're 60 pounds. You're not a freaking Wookiee. And she's like, anybody else's dog a Wookiee? Just start giving you these like weird Wookiee noises. Out of nowhere, I want a cookie. Take me for a walk. My dog does this stuff all the time. I don't have a little dog. I mean, to me, she's a little dog. She's 60, almost 65 pounds. But I've never had a dog this small. All my other dogs were at least 90 pounds, if not larger. This is like the small dog for me. So if you have a little dog, you probably don't get the Wookiee woo. But if you have a normal like dog that could actually defend your child, that kind of dog probably woos. All right, let's get some woos here, Johnny. Let's get some woos. Let's start with Juan. Juan, you're on Late Hits. What's up, Juan? Gotta get the woos. Of course, we didn't need the phone fart at the end there, but you know. Johnny, let's get Richard up on the board here. Richard, you're on Late Hits. What's up, Rich?
Woo! Oh, that was sad. That was sad.
Let's try again.
Woo! Man, I'm ugly. I'm sorry.
Maybe you just need more beer, Richard. You know, more beer to get a good woo there. Got to reach back and woo! It's always fun to get some woos in. Everybody likes to woo. I popped on to the give us your best woo. Gotta be able to woo. Gotta be able to enjoy this. And, you know, Reddick out there will be fun. And of course, I'm sure that with Reddick throwing the first pitch out tomorrow night, there will probably be some comments about a tweet by John Granato from about a week ago referencing who's been around the team and who hasn't been around the team. I'm pretty sure that somehow is going to come up tomorrow. I'd be listening to the bench in the morning to see if that comes up in the morning. I'm just saying. Let's get Matthew on the horn. Matthew, you're on Late Hits. What's up, Matt?
Matthew? This is Slappy.
Who is it?
Woo! Woo! Well, Penny! Woo! Penny!
It's a good woo. Said his name wasn't Matthew. But you have a good woo. Carlos, you're on Late Hits. What's up, Carlos?
In honor of the great Gus Reddick, woo!
Oh, strong woo from Carlos.
Yeah, that was the best one.
That's a good woo. That was a good woo. Right now, Carlos, leader in the clubhouse, best woo. Want to get your woo in. You want to be the number one wooer. Yeah, you know the number, 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. Get your woo in. I want Chewy to call and woo. Chewy is always on the Twitch, but he never calls. I want Chewy to call, and I want him to give us a woo.
So you're issuing an official challenge to
this
Chewy.
This is an official call out for Chewy to call up and give us a woo. Need an official woo. No excuses. Come on, Chewy. I know you're on the Twitch stream. I know you're listening. You've got to come up and give us a woo. We got a lot of calls up on the board here. People who are looking to get their woos in. I'm assuming that's supposed to be Derek and not Garrick. Derek, you're on
yes,
Late
sir.
Hits. What's up, Derek? That sounded more like a circus whistle than a woo, brother. You want to try again? All right, Derek's gone. It was A for effort. All right, we have our first female wooer. So let's get Susan up. Susan, you're on Late Hits.
I listen to you guys all the time on my work day, so I love this channel. So here it goes.
Well done, Susan. Excellent. We appreciate that you're a loyal 97.5 listener, and thank you for calling and giving us a woo. Tony, you're on Late Hits. What's up, Tony?
Gotta love chicks that can give a woo, bro.
Hell yeah.
In honor of the great Mr. Ric Flair, woo!
That was pretty good. I think Tony's the new leader in the clubhouse. That was a solid Flair woo. I think Tony is number one right now. All right. What does that say? Because I don't have my glasses on. What does that say?
It looks like it says Tenny.
Tenny? All right, Tenny. You're on Late Hits, Tenny. What's up?
What's up?
Woo! Hey, get your woo in. Get your woos here. Robert, you're on Late Hits. What's up, Robert?
Hey, for Josh Reddick, woo!
There we go. All right. Is that... So this call actually says Chewbacca.
Yeah, celebrity here.
So we have the actual Chewbacca on the phone. We are the only show that actually gets Star Wars characters.
That was pretty good. It did sound a lot like your dog impersonation from like 5 minutes ago.
My dog thinks she's a Wookiee. All right, there's one more caller. Doesn't have a name up on the board. Oh, it's Crystal. What's up, Crystal?
What for you, baby?
Crystal hit a note so high, it didn't actually go over the phone.
Fuck them apples.
That was awesome, Crystal. Appreciate it. Unless you want to try to get another woo in there real quick.
Awesome. Sounds like a chihuahua.
That's awesome. Thanks, Crystal. So that first one she gave definitely was like at too high a pitch. The phone couldn't connect it. It was too high. It's weird. Like if you talk too high on your cell phone, you can't hear it. And if you talk too low on your cell phone, it jumbles all together and like the words are inoperable. So it's a lot of fun. Glad you guys had some fun wooing. Wooing is always fun. So that was fun. Appreciate you guys participating in some woo. Why are all the lines X'd out, Johnny?
I was wondering the same thing, but they're not anymore. So
We may have to put an intern out the airlock. Oh wait, we don't have any interns, do we?
Yeah, I think he's still out there right now.
Oh,
I wouldn't have made it through all those phone calls if he wasn't out there right now.
But, yeah, we get to have a little fun. You know, we're still allowed to have fun on this station. We're still allowed to have fun on this station. And there it was. Lots of wooing. Now, before we started wooing, we were talking about Carlos Correa and the Astros. Will they sign him? Will they not sign him? Do you want them to sign him? We will cut the break here. Here's what we're going to do. 713-780-3776. What is the contract offer that you think is most fair for Carlos Correa and the Astros? So not something that is like all team friendly. It's got to be a fair deal to Correa. Well, I guess what's the most that you think makes sense to pay Correa years money? 713-780-3776. We'll hear from Mike Stanton, who joined the Wheelhouse earlier today, on what he thinks the Astros' chances are for signing Carlos Correa. We'll get to it next.
The Bomb. This is Late Hits on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
All right, that was fun. Now, highest paid shortstops, Frankie Lindor, 10 years, $341 million. He's 27. Fernando Tatis Jr., 14 years, $340 million. They bought out all his arbitration years. He's 22. Elvis Andrews, 8 years, $120 million. He's was 24 when he signed, but next year is the last year of that deal. Xander Bogaerts in 2019 signed 6 years, $120 million. He was 26. But the two big deals that were signed this past offseason, Frankie Lindor now signed through 2031. Fernando Tatis Jr. signed through 2034. And Carlos Correa, well, his contract coming up, and Correa looking to get a large sum of money. Correa just turned 22, so next season will be Correa's age 27 season. He made $11.7 million in his final year of arbitration. And that Frankie Lindor deal, same age, Correa statistically a little better than Lindor. This year, Correa, worlds better than Lindor. Would you give Carlos Correa the Frankie Lindor contract, 10 years, $341 million? Now, the Tatis deal obviously is not in play because, well, they bought out a bunch of years of arbitration, so they didn't have to pay him as much in those years. But what are the years, what are the dollars that you're willing to go with Carlos Correa, 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. Mike Stanton joined the Wheelhouse and discussed Carlos Correa and the contract with the Houston Astros. Now, remember, before the ALDS, because at the end of the season, there was a lot of talk about Correa's contract. And you remember, you know, last home game of the year, and they're, you know, the Astros players set it up so Correa ran out onto the field by himself, and they all usually run out together. When he, you know, everybody started to run out, then they all stopped, and he kept going because he was the only one who wasn't in on it. And once you start running, you can't stop, turn around, and go back. So he ran out, and the fans gave him a huge ovation. And then they took him out in the ninth inning so he could walk off the field to another ovation. We know who the leader of the team is. We know who the guy that is most the most respected voice. We know who that is. So Mike Stanton addressed, because Jim Crane spoke to the media and talked about Correa before the ALDS, which I think was just a preemptive strike so that every press conference, every time, every media availability didn't become asking every player and manager and coach and whatnot about Carlos Correa. Here's Mike Stanton on Houston and Correa. All right, hold on, hold on, hold on. That was apparently a trick. Hold on, let's try this one more time. Okay, here is Mike Stanton talking about Houston and their chances to re-sign Carlos Correa.
You know, I get asked the question all the time, do I think that the Astros will re-sign him? I don't think so. Not because they're not going to try, but I think, you know, he's going to be shooting for the stars to hit the moon. And I think that he has shown this year staying healthy. That's number one. That's been his biggest issue over the years, is just staying on the field. But I think he's shown that, you know, he truly is one of the best players in the league. And he's going to be at 27, 28 years old. He's going to be looking to get paid like that, and rightly so. So we'll just have to wait and see. Unfortunately, you know, my own personal opinion, I think it's a long shot that he comes back.
I think it's a long shot that he comes back. That's disgraceful. That is disgraceful. The idea that it would be a long shot for him to come back. I hate it. Carlos Correa has the opportunity to be an all-time Astro. We could be talking about, you know, 5 years from now, the idea of Carlos Correa being potentially a Hall of Fame player, being on that kind of track. And instead, it's, well, are they going to keep him? Are they not going to keep him? I don't actually know. So, you know, there's this idea of, well, you know, long-term contracts never work out. And the truth is, well, that's not true. Sometimes long-term contract at the end, sometimes they don't work out. That's true. You can look at the second Alex Rodriguez contract and say, well, that deal didn't work out. The first one absolutely did. The first one was the first of its kind. 10 years, $252 million, and it absolutely paid off. A-Rod had multiple MVPs. He put up historic numbers. So what if he was just in the bolo? Put up historic numbers. The whole damn Rangers team was on that stuff. So what's the difference? You know, if you got Juan Gonzalez, yeah. Pudge Rodriguez, yeah. Rush Palmeiro, yeah. You know, Miguel Cabrera's deal at the very end wasn't worth the money, but early on it was. Early on, it got him to World Series. Nolan Arenado has been worth every single penny. Yeah, you know, Steven Strasburg's deal, turned out it worked. Won a World Series. You know, I think the jury obviously is still out on Gerrit Cole. Mike Trout is considered the best player in baseball, and I think this year half of why he didn't play didn't have to do with being injured. It had to do with, screw you guys, you're a bunch of idiots. You know, did Justin Verlander's Detroit contract pay off? Yeah, I'd say it did. Zach Greinke's been, well, he's been worth the money. Clayton Kershaw, worth every single penny. So the deals never work out. It's not true. Now, obviously, it's too early to say about Mookie Betts, but early returns aren't bad. Early returns on Fernando Tatis, pretty good. So the idea of they're always bad deals, it's not true. They're just the ones that get talked about the most. Because whenever a guy isn't performing or he's hurt, oh my gosh, look at the money they're paying him. It doesn't matter if you're making $3 million or $30 million. If you're a star player on a team and you're not in the lineup, it hurts. Because you can't just, quote, replace a star player. There's no way to do that. You can't go on the free agent market and just sign some dude that's going to perform for you the way that your perennial all-star does. So regardless of cost of replacement, you can't replace the production. But, you know, that's the thing. We were like, oh, how much money does he make? How much? Who cares? If a prominent actor bombs a movie, do you go, oh, but they paid him $30 million. How come it bombed? Maybe the movie sucked. Maybe the rest of the cast sucked. Maybe the story sucked. Maybe the guy took it to make his $30 million. If somebody said to you, listen, I got a piece of trash, but if you put some shoe polish on this baby, I'll pay you $30 million. You go polish that puppy up nice. Because 30 mil is 30 mil. I don't care who you are. It's 30 mil. If you said to any owner in baseball, hey, listen, I need you to take this section of seats, set it on fire, and then replace it. 30 mil. Flame on! Yeah, take this section of seats, burn them, and don't replace them for the whole year. 30 mil. Flame on! 30 million is 30 million. What are you willing to give Carlos Correa? Because to me, I have no problem giving him the Frankie Lindor deal. If that's the market for elite shortstops, I will pay the market for my elite shortstop. And then every single year when Carlos Correa is better than Frankie Lindor, I will make sure that my PR staff reminds everyone, man, Carlos Correa has done all of these wonderful things and makes the same money as Frankie Lindor, who is hitting 230. And I'm all over that. My all-star, my perennial all-star, my defensive whiz, my team captain, my playoff monster, I'm going to pay that guy. There is no way to replace that kind of production without A, paying another superstar player essentially the same thing, or somehow drafting the next Carlos Correa without having a number one, you know, the number one overall pick. Trying to find the next guy who will be as good as Correa. Those guys don't come around that often. You know, and Marcus Semien, who benefited from playing half the season in Dunedin, Florida, and in Buffalo, New York, two stadiums that showed to be extreme hitter's parks. In fact, in Eden, where they played for the first, 2.5 months of the season, the most extreme hitter's park in all of baseball. Bigger than Coors Field by a noticeable amount. That's not easy to do. And then Buffalo, New York would have been essentially the same as Coors Field, and they did that all the way through June. Then they went back home to the Dome and hitter's park. So their offensive numbers for the Blue Jays this year, somewhat inflated due to park. But Marcus Semien is looking for a long-term mega money deal. You know, Bellinger is going to be looking for money when he comes up. But Corey Seager is the Dodgers shortstop. He's going to want big money. And Trey Turner isn't this year, but next year, he's going to want big money. So the idea is, the Dodgers going to let Bellinger go because they made the trade for Trey Turner. Okay. But Bellinger's still going to want big money. And Javi Baez, who strikes out like, holy cow, does he strike out? He doesn't walk that much, but he's a very good, excellent fielder. And he's got power, and he's got speed. Maybe you can coach him up so he hits better than 230. But he played well. He played pretty well for the Mets. He was a spark for the Mets. He had moments. Still strikes out too damn much. But somebody's going to pay him a lot of money. Now, he's not going to get $300 million. But he's probably going to get more than 150. He led the league in strikeouts. So, yeah, I'm fine with paying Correa. Like I said, when you take out, you don't have to pay Greinke. You're not going to pay Verlander. I mean, they're talking about giving Verlander a qualifying offer. They're giving him a qualifying offer because they don't intend to pay him. QO this year is $18.4 million. So he turns it down, and it attaches draft pick compensation. So when somebody else signs Verlander, the Astros get a pick. And you know what? After having 2 years of not having a first or a second, the Astros want picks. So I don't think that they're looking at bringing back Verlander. Well, between the $26 million they pay Greinke and the $33 million they pay Verlander, you tell me you can't take that $33 million and a couple of million from Greinke and pay Carlos Correa? Because sure as hell can. And then with all the young outfielders that you have in Chaz, with Myers, with Siri, do you trade Michael Brantley and that $16 million and move that off the books? Because, now I've got guys who are younger and better defensively, probably not as good a contact hitter. Maybe not necessarily as good an eye as yet. But look, it's as good as Brantley was this year. Is it not fair to question if he is now starting to trend down? Because you look at his numbers from this year as composed to the last few years, and despite the average, there is a noticeable change. And that's the power. And we'll get to all of that coming up next.
When it comes to sports betting, SportsMapBets.com is the site you need. From weekly betting guides to single game breakdowns of the point spread, money line, over under, and more, SportsMapBets has all the info you need to make the best play. SportsMapBets.com. You're listening to Late Hits on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
So on the Twitch channel, it was asked about by Jerry if the Astros could pay Yordan and Tucker if they gave Correa big money. Now, remember, there's no salary cap in baseball, so they can pay whatever they want. And with the CBA coming up at the end of the year, the MLBPA has already said they're not coming back to play until that CBA and that financial arrangement is changed drastically. They are not going to sign off on another luxury tax the way that it is currently stand up, that line is going to have to get way higher. And with each passing year, remember that the new TV deals are going to kick in, and baseball is going to make even more crazy, stupid money as the new TV deals kick in. But Yordan Alvarez and Kyle Tucker are not free agents until 2026. Christian Javier, Jose Urquidy, Framber Valdez, all of these guys are not free agents until 2026. Altuve and Bregman are free agents in 2025. So each of those guys still under contract for three more years. When you get to Yordan, Tucker, Javier, Urquidy, Valdez, those guys all have at least, they've got four seasons of some combination of team control and arbitration. And Luis García has five seasons of team control and arbitration. So they've got a lot of guys who are going to be cheap for a long time. And when we get to 2025, and you've got a 35-year-old Jose Altuve, you decide how much you're going to pay him, how well is Jose still playing. But the money in baseball is going to be a lot bigger then. When you get to 2025 and you got a 31-year-old Alex Bregman, who will be coming off two seasons of making over $30 million a year, he's going to want to get paid. You get to find out, you know, look, is Bregman going to be the guy who was, you know, the runner-up in the MVP? Or is he going to be the guy who's been injured a lot the last 2 years, which Alex Bregman is now the real Alex Bregman? Because that's going to take a lot of money out of your books if you decide, well, you know what, Alex Bregman hasn't been the same guy that we thought he was going to be, and now he's making $30 million plus, and he's going to want, you know, at least $30 million plus going forward. Do we move on from Alex Bregman? Don't know the answer to that question yet, obviously, because there's still 3 years to play for him to show he can be the old Alex. But, you know, since the punishment came down for the sign-stealing issue, Bregman hasn't had that same chip on his shoulder. He hasn't been. I mean, did you hear the press conference that Bregman gave after the White Sox reliever decided he was going to run his mouth? Bregman, man, there was none of that fire, that chip on the shoulder, you know, the old, you know, ticked off, obnoxious, bleep you, Bregman. We didn't see any of that guy. You know, he gave this diplomatic, boring, just nonplussed answer. That's not Alex Bregman. I don't want that Alex Bregman. I want pissed off, out of his mind, yelling, screaming, cursing, high energy Alex Bregman, because that guy hits the snot out of the ball. You know, other guys that you got to consider where money is moving and not moving. Yuli is signed for $8 million next year. He's got a club option. After that, he's a free agent. Well, Yuli's 38. He's not going to play forever. Jake Odorizzi has an $8 million deal for next year and then a $6.5 million player option. There's no way he's exercising a $6.5 million player option. He'll be able to get on the market and get, even if it's only for 1 year, he'll get $10 million. Pedro Baez, whose velocity was extremely diminished when he came off the IL, he's got a $5.5 million deal for next year and then a $7.5 million club option for 2023. He's going to be gone. Jason Castro was 35 years old. He's got one more year left on his deal. Aledmys has one more year left on his deal. Well, I guess it's an arbitration estimate. He's a free agent for 23. Montero's a free agent in 23. Stanek's a free agent in 24. Maton's a free agent in 24. Josh James, who cares? Like, this is that these are your guys. I mean, there's so much money is coming off the books in Greinke and Verlander. And then ultimately, if you move on from Michael Brantley and that's $16 million, well, you're talking about like $74 million coming off the books with Greinke, Verlander, and then if you trade Brantley. That's $74 million in today's money. Tomorrow, like 5 years from now, you're talking about revenues being another $100 million higher. So, yeah, could they afford to sign Correa? And then when Jordan and Tucker come up, can they afford to sign? Of course they can. Hell, they could probably afford to sign him and not even be paying whatever the luxury tax is, because so much money is going to come off. And the guys who are going to get raises, they're all arbitration. Astros are in a really good position in that you've got your handful of guys who are getting paid. Right, Altuve, Bregman, those are the two guys who are getting paid, and Bregman doesn't get paid next year. He doesn't get paid until 2023. McCullers is on an extremely team-friendly deal. Brantley is the second highest paid guy on the team for next season. There's plenty of money. And there are so many reasons that you should pay Carlos Correa. I mean, remember, Bregman, 23, 24, he's making over $30 million in those 2 years, because those are his first 2 years of what would have been his first 2 years of free agency that the team bought out. Altuve makes $29 million each of the next 3 years. And if Altuve hits 270, 280, and hits 30 homers and drives in 90 runs, we got no problem paying Altuve those $29 million. So this team has plenty of money, and they've got a lot of opportunity because the number of young players. Remember, for the minor league system that was supposedly so terrible, bottom five, nobody ranked any high. Look how many young guys from the Astros system are on the major league roster and producing at a high level. But remember, their minor league system stinks. It stinks. Not even good. They got rid of all their guys. It stinks. Sometimes those analyst guys, they get it wrong. Well, they got it wrong. All right, coming up next, this to me is one of those things where no matter how much lipstick you put on it, it's still a pig. Home stretch next.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Late Hits on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
So I had said, you know, how much are you willing to pay Correa? And I said, I give him the Lindor deal. Some of you chimed in on the Twitch feed. Poncho said 7 years, 235. Truth said 8 years, 250. Let's see, 8 and 250. Then on the text line, we got a bunch come in. Somebody said 7 years, 210. That's 30 mil a pop. Somebody else texted in 8 years, 265. That's the strongest offer one we've gotten so far. 7 years, 250. It's a big number. Somebody else said 7 years, 35 million per. Yeah, so that's a lot of a lot of money. People are, I think people are coming around more on the idea of paying Correa. Real quick here for my friends at the West Bar and Grill. You know, the West, the Beaumont Institution, always a great place to catch all the games all the time because they got all the games all the time. You want to go there and watch Astros playoff baseball, you get $3 Crawford Bock Pints. You want to go on Sunday and catch every single game? Well, you can because they have the Sunday ticket. Not a lot of places have the Sunday ticket in Beaumont, but the West does. And you can go down there and you can go get a great meal, steak, shrimp, wings, burgers, catfish, whatever you like, because they got it and it's really good. And you want your favorite beer, your favorite wines, your favorite spirits, they got them all at the West. Enjoy your drinks while you take in the game or maybe while you're playing your favorite pub games, because pool, darts, ping pong, shuffleboard, arcade games, they got them all at the West. Happy hour in effect all day till 6 o'clock. Ask for my buddy Mike Hamilton. Mike, he's the owner. He's going to take great care of you. The West Bar and Grill, 6445 Calder Avenue in Beaumont, half mile north of I-10. Check their Facebook page for events at the West Bar and Grill. Get your friends together and head to the West, the Beaumont Institution. So yesterday we talked about Adam Schefter forgetting that he's supposed to be a journalist and basically doing PR for the NFL during the 2011 lockout. Well, Schefty put out like an official statement and made a few other – this is basically Schefter's comments on 97.5 The Fanatic in Philly, as reported by Pro Football Talk. I learned for a long time in the business not to discuss sources or the process or how stories are done, but I would just say basically it's common practice to run information past sources, and in this case – during a labor-intensive lockout that was a complicated subject that was new to understand, I took the extra rare step, again, to run information past one of the people I was talking to. Yeah, not quite.
What?
You basically said, hey, do I have this the way you want me to write it? And if not, would you like to make the changes so that it does read the way you want me to write it, Mr. Editor? And then after admitting to doing it and admitting that, you know what, it was a step too far, Schefter said in a statement released by ESPN, it was a step too far, and looking back, I shouldn't have done it. Criticism on me is fair. So he's basically throwing himself on the sword here and the modified mea culpa, right? Knows what he's doing here because he's a media guy and he understands if you say you're sorry and you act contrite, we're more likely to forgive you than if you're John Gruden and you pretty much blow it off and you say it's no big deal and then we're like, you son of a B-whacker! But then, after a situation where it was clear, he ceded editorial control to a team president for a story, so basically giving the team and league's perception and not an independent perception. He then goes on to say, in no way did I or would I cede editorial control or hand over a final say about a story to anyone ever. You lying sack! That's exactly what you freaking did! You called him Mr. Editor! You told him to make edits to what you were publishing at 6 a.m. and then turn around and go, oh, I'd never do that. Dude, you burnt the whole house down with the gas can still in your hand and said, I wasn't here. Like, are you kidding me? This is total trash. Well, I would never do such a thing. I mean, except that one time that I got caught doing it. Because I'm not going to tell you about all the times that I did not get caught doing it until, well, maybe those emails get leaked out too. And in which case, then I'll have to say, well, it was just that time too. And then that other time too. And then maybe that other time too. Until it becomes completely out of control. And then I'll just blow it off and say, oh, I was doing my job. Even though what you were doing was not your job. You were doing de facto PR for the NFL, who was trying to win a PR battle as they locked out players for the sole purpose of stealing money from them. The league was stealing money from the players, And Adam Schefter was on the take from the league and the league's teams to give their perception and the way they wanted the story pulled. And he probably got paid some cash for it. Let's just be real, because when if you are lapdogging that hard, there's some kind of benefit to you, whether it's you get more scoops, which generates more cash for you, or you get more information, which generates more cash for you, or maybe you just get flat out cash. But Adam Schefter did the league's dirty work as they were screwing players over. Don't forget that. No late hits tomorrow because we've got Astros playoff baseball right here on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5, your FM radio home for Astros playoff baseball. Big thanks to Johnny B on the other side of the glass, all our callers, texters, tweeters, and Twitchers. We'll see you. I don't know when we'll see you because there's going to be baseball. So follow me on Twitter at PCreighton1, and I'll let you know what the schedule is. Have a great night. H Town!
Bring them to the light for you. It's only right. This is the soundtrack to my life. The soundtrack to my life.
This is Heisman Trophy winner Troy Smith, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5. Go Bucks.